Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Demons aren't going to flee at the name of Buddha. They aren't going to flee at the name of Phil or Art. They're going to laugh. But you say the name of Jesus. Every spiritual stronghold. See, we don't realize that in the spirit, they can hear our natural words. And they're not restricted to the walls. Every demon in this town knows the name of Jesus is being celebrated today. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we are going to do some things a little different. We're going to do an experiment for a little bit. We're going to pray before the message. And we're going to have prayer every Sunday. Because I'm here to tell you, we had some miracles and miraculous things take place after the last one. Missy back there, she had a pinched nerve for what, a couple weeks? I get a call Monday that Sunday afternoon she got up from her nap, healed. Amen. So praise God. And your sister's cancer scan? Amen. Amen. So there you have it. So since God's house is supposed to be called a house of prayer, we think that's an important thing to have. Yes. Yes. Yeah, her levels came up. Go figure. When God's people praise, amen. Hallelujah. I know that's been a stressful thing on her. I mean, this is definitely not an addition she needs right now. So, but we're going to do that because, listen, we got a lot of things to be stressed about. We really do. You know, I don't know if the government shut down last night or not. Like, it's been 14 times since, what, 1990 or something. I'm like, I've been alive the whole time, never not got to go to work because of it. I was even a government employee back then. But anyhow, so not going to worry about things, but we're going to pray. Amen.
I'll tell you something, too. This week I got something stuck in my throat, but I swallowed a piece of meat wrong, and I couldn't breathe. I couldn't swallow. I couldn't talk. I couldn't get on the phone to call anybody to help. And all of a sudden, I don't know how it even came out. I said, Jesus, save me. And it just popped out.
Praise God. There you go. That's the best Heimlich maneuver there.
Yeah,
amen. Praise God. So we're going to...
If you don't mind.
Go ahead.
My back was hurting me. I heard it installed on all hard. And the next couple days it worked pretty bad. And I called Katie one day when I was thinking I was going to have to call her. And I started back to work. And I stepped down off the truck and I felt my back move.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, he does. So he's not going to leave us or forsake us in any of this, but we just have to trust him and believe what he said. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, let's bless the tithe and offering here this morning. Whoop. I like that. Anybody else want to run up? Okay. That's fast money. That's what that is. Anyhow, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for a beautiful week. Lord, we thank you for your many blessings. We thank you for the testimonies of your healing, things you're doing, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that you're moving right now in Jesus' name in our lives. Now, Father, we present to you today as a whole, as One, we present to you our tithe and offering. Lord God, I call your blessings down upon them now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated and the super kids are dismissed. And I think there's one other that I'm pretty sure we prayed for, but those of you who don't know, Addie is a horse dentist, but she needed one more, what is it, certification. Is it national or national?
International,
yeah. An international certification, which would have made her one of three in Ohio. And so this weekend, her family took her to New Jersey so she could do this. And she smoked the written test, which is what had her stressed. And she smoked the others. So she is one of three horse dentists in the state of Ohio who is internationally certified. And that was one of our prayer requests because she was stressing about the written. She's a lot like I am. I'm like, I can do the physical. I know that stuff. It's the written. Words move around and your brain goes, and then you're like, what happened? So praise God. He moved every little thing of our lives, ladies and gentlemen. If you have a prayer request still out, Joe's coming up the aisles.
I believe she was only one of the two, at least in her group. Now, I don't know how many were in her group that passed this in New Jersey.
Yeah. So, yeah, and she had to go to New Jersey to take this too, because that was the closest. And but anyhow, that is our God. He cares about every aspect of our life. So, if you're having some things, you need to ask and trust him. You don't... Yeah, I mean, I know Monica's sitting over here smiling. She's been going through a little bit, and God's been showing her. Trust me, I got you. Yeah, read the newsletter. Her testimony's in there. Well, so, yeah, so praise God. So, like I said, I think we're going to do this every Sunday. If we have 50, we pray for 50. If we have 5, we pray for 5. But just know that God cares about each and every one. And so we're gonna do that. Amen. So let's go before the Lord today, and let's stand and believe, knowing that God is going to move on these requests. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you we can come boldly before your throne with these requests. Father, for the testimonies, I thank you for the testimonies of the things that you have done, Lord God. And there's even things we haven't even gotten word about yet. So, Lord, I thank you right now that you're continuing to move and you're bringing all those things about in Jesus' name. And now, Father, we pray for Megan as she's moving back to Ohio. Lord, we pray that your protection around her vehicle, around her, Lord God, safe travels, Lord God, beautiful weather to move in. Father, I thank you that this young lady has got good friends who reach out and ask for prayer for her. So, Lord, I thank you right now that is happening. And, Father, this will be a testimony when she just tells Alexis that it was just such a smooth, I've never had such an easy time. That Alexis said, it's because it's God. So, Father, I thank you right now that you're protecting her and keeping her safe in this, in Jesus' name. And now, oh, hallelujah. Father, I pray for Annie. Lord, you know the things that are going on in her life. You know the hardness that has come about in her. Father, that the things that are not right, the things that are not true, Lord God, that she's embracing more and more. Lord, I pray right now that you speak to her heart. Speak through all the garbage right now, Lord God, that she is hearing, that she is embracing, Lord God. I bind every spirit that is speaking to her right now, Lord God, so that your voice may be heard in her life. Father, I thank you that you're going to put people in her life that everywhere she turns, that the occult will get knocked away, Lord God, and that your truth will be standing there, Father. That the people in the checkout lines, Lord God, the people in the gas stations, Father, the people in the the library, wherever, Lord God, that you will have somebody, at least one person, Father, that the enemy's gates will be flooded by your standard, Lord God, that your truth will abound right now in her life, Father, that the truth that is in her, that she knows, Lord God, will rise up. The truth that she was taught as a child, Lord God, will come against everything that is coming against her in Jesus' name. Ooh, hallelujah. Father God, I thank you. I thank you that you are the God that heals, Lord God, and I thank you that you're the God who moves mightily in our lives. And right now, Lord God, I curse every cancer cell in this man's body. Father, there is no reason for any of them to increase. I command them to decrease in the name of Jesus. I speak life to every good cell in this body, that they will overpower and overtake every cancer cell. Lord God, these things will be passed from his body harmlessly, and those that don't just disappear. So, Father, I thank you right now that you're moving on him in Jesus' name, that your power is on him, your love is in him in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, praise you, Jesus. And, Father God, you know what we're seeing in our country, Father, as we have election time coming up, even locally and nationally, Father, I pray right now, Father, that you begin to move. Lord, open our eyes to the candidates that we need for you, Lord God, the ones you need there. Father, I pray right now that you move miraculously across this country. Father, that truths will come out. Lord God, we're just tired of the political rhetoric. We want and need good leaders in this country in every aspect, from the school board to the commissioners to city councils to judges to state senators to state representatives to Congress and Senate and D.C. to judges in the federal and local levels, Lord God. We pray right now for wisdom in those areas. Father, may we know who you want us to vote for. Lord, I thank you right now that as things are going through, we will look past personalities. We will look past things that we think are important because, Lord, you know what's important. People looked past people like David, and they looked to Saul because he was tall. That is it. Father, he wasn't the man you chose. The shepherd boy, out in the field, so despised by his own brothers that they ignored him. His own father didn't call for him. But you did. You told Samuel the prophet that there's another to ask for him. And when they brought him, you said, he is a man after my heart. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for prophets with the intestinal fortitude to stand up, to speak into this country, Lord God, not false prophecies of things that they think are trying, that they're trying to speak into existence, but Lord God, your truth, your word, just as Samuel judged Israel. Lord God, we need people, men and women of God, who speak the truth that will come to pass, that is visible to come to pass. Lord God, I thank you right now. Father, we thank you right now that you're moving in this state and then even in this country, Lord God, against the drug trade, against the human trafficking trade. Lord God, I thank you that you're moving. You're setting people free, the addict, the slave. Lord God, that's who you came. So, Father, we pray right now for miraculous liberty for them in Jesus' name. And Father, we have an issue in our state that is being touted as being good for our state, and it is not. It kills the unborn. Father, it makes ways for children to receive perversion in their lives, Father, of who they are. Lord God, I pray right now for your people to stand up, and the people that are not
who are riding the fence, Lord God, knock them over so that this thing does not pass. We do not want this perversion in our state. Lord God, I thank you that you're moving across the entire state of Ohio on this thing, that people will get out and they will vote against this thing, this twisted, perverted falsehood. Lord, I thank you right now that you're moving. You're moving in this body. Lord God, you're showing people to trust you just to step out and do what you want them to do, Lord God. But help us all. Lord God, I know even in my own life it's been a hard thing to stay in what I'm supposed to do. As I've heard other preachers and other well-meaning people tell me that I should do this, that I should do that, and at no time did you tell me to do them. But when I did them, it bit me. So, Lord, I thank you right now that you're moving on people's lives, Father. You're showing them everything you've got for them, but they just have to trust you, just like Abraham. Lord God, you will do that, I know. You will show us a future, but we still have to trust you for every step of it. Every time Abraham stepped out in the daytime and he saw that sand, all the dust, he knew his children's children would be like this. At night when he sat out, he could see the stars. And the thousands and millions of stars, he knew his descendants would be like that. So, Father, give people in here, in this body, give them some revelations of what you've got going for them, Lord. I know people are discouraged because it seems like they're not going anywhere. But the hardest part is waiting. The hardest part is just standing still and waiting for you to tell us to giddy up and to go. We're pulling, and you're holding us back for a reason, Lord. So, Father, yes, peace. Peace right now on them in Jesus' name. And Father, I pray for peace across this country as well. Lord, there's still turmoil. There's still people race baiting. Father, I pray right now that your truth would come out. Father, nobody should dislike anybody just because of the color of their skin, the country that they originated from, what people from their country did. Father, your word says every man should be judged by their character. So, Father, if we fall into that trap of judging a whole group of people because of one, smack us. Smack us into reality, Father, that we are being prejudicial against somebody who didn't deserve it. Because I don't want to be judged for my family. I don't want my children to be judged for their family. I want them judged for who they are. And I thank you, Lord, for your tender mercies on our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I think that's the way we're doing it. Man, I feel good. Now I'm ready to preach. God's going to do some great things in our country. He's going to do some great things in your life. I know many of you are questioning, God, what do we do with our life? What's going on? We feel like we're just spinning our wheels. Well, maybe God's told you to do something and you're ignoring him. I know lots of people that they do that. There it is. They tend to think that they can do things on their own. And I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if anybody online here, you're hearing my voice, this is the word, this is a testament of experience. You can't do what you want when God wants you to do something else. I've tried it. I'm telling you, when God told us to stay in North Carolina, a part of me leaped. Although 2 years before that, I had said, I can't wait to get out of this stinking state. It smelled like sewer all the time, if you know what a swamp smells like. But then we got to loving people. God did a major change on me. I didn't care for people. I know many people in here who are like this. Talking to a man just recently. I'm praying for him now. He's on my list. His name is on my list. Because he needs to fall to his knees and receive Jesus. To be free from that. To be washed clean of that pride and that hatred that he has. One of the things I've grown, I don't know why I like seeing this stuff. I guess it's just that part of me. But I love watching restoration. I love watching guys restore cars. You know, there's a lot of videos from this machining company, and they run heads through the machiner, and they'll just start, and it takes off thousandths of an inch, just a little bit. You can see the metal turn shiny again. It's like cartoons back in the day, man. I just used to sit there all day. I could watch those, taking a little bit off at a time, and machine that head down flat, and then you see where the head wasn't level. I just like that stuff. But there's one I told Angela the other day. I said, I don't know why I like these. They're really kind of stupid, but I'm sitting here watching them. It's rug cleaning. I kid you not. It's cleaning rugs. And I saw one where they went to a dump and they dug this rug out of the dump. And these rugs are just, they're just black with filth. And I'm like, God, what is my sick connection to this? I got to be sick in the head. Why do I like it? And I just sat there watching, and the other morning, God gave me a revelation of why I like it. Today's message is called Wash is Whiter Than. See, in those videos, those rugs are filthy. You can't see the pattern. You can't see anything on them that makes them unique. The colors. You know, every one of us, we're unique. There's nobody like you. Ever. Will never be anybody like you. You're one of a kind. You literally are one in nearly 8 billion people. You may have people that look like you, very similar. I believe there's doppelgangers out there. I've had people tell me about mine. I need to pray for him more. He owns a strip club. I don't need to be connected to that. But these rugs, I mean, there's a reason they threw them in the dump. They are disgusting. They're black. You can't see anything on them anymore. Part of me has to wonder, who does this to a rug? I'm like, I don't think I've personally ever had a rug that dirty, even in my shops. But they take these rugs, and I mean, they are just filthy black, no patterns. And the person will start taking this hose. And they do this on a white floor, so you know. They're doing it on a white floor, and they just start taking that hose, and they start softening up that dirt. They keep spraying it back and forth, and you just see the black ooze running onto that white floor. And they get it good and saturated, because every fiber needs to have something in there to help break away the dirt. And then they come along with a big can, like a watering can, and they pour soap on it, and they take another brush and they swirl it around a little bit, and then they add a little bit more water to it, and then they come in with a floor scrubber. You know, the ones you see the videos of, particularly in the military, trying to ride them, and they just start scrubbing, and you see that the suds build up. The suds, you know, suds do not clean. They carry the dirt away. That's why you need suds. The cleaning agents are down doing their job. They're breaking it free. and this soap that was clean, it was pure, comes up gray and brown and black, and it's just disgusting. Anybody's ever cleaned a carpet knows what I'm talking about. I mean, you think, well, that carpet's not dirty until you got to empty the dirty water container. And you're like, I've been laying on that. And if as long as you did the nastiness, it's not so bad. But you're like, I hope that's my hair. But they start scrubbing it and cleaning it until they just got this big, thick, nasty, oh, it's just disgusting. And then they come along with another hose, and they spray the suds off, and they wash that off. And then they hit it with a pressure washer. As if the scrubber wasn't enough, they come and hit it with about 2,500 PSI, and they just start scrubbing it with that. And then they've got all, I mean, it's just thick. The dirt all around this thing is nasty. They'll take a squeegee and they'll clean it to show you how dirty it really was. And they have to push away piles of stuff. Then they hit it again. They keep washing this thing. I'm like, why? It's probably worn out. Who knows? But maybe it was just dirty. And they're washing it. And they, oh, wow. You start to see the pattern showing up. If it's a Persian rug, you'll start seeing all those intricate designs. They had one. It was a Pac-Man. That one kind of showed up pretty quick. But you start seeing the colors. The reds, the yellows, the blues, the whites that are starting to show. And then when they get to that point, they roll the rug up, squish all that stuff out a little bit, move it to the side, and what they reveal is the dirt that was pushed through the back. And they'll clean that up. And then they'll take the rug and they'll flip it upside down. And they'll come back in with the pressure washer. And as they start cleaning that, the pattern that is showing through the back will start showing up. And then when they got that done, they roll it back up again. Clean that mess away. Flip it right side up. Put more soap on it. And clean it again with the pressure washer, with scrubbers, however many times it takes. And then they'll rinse it, wash it again, rinse it, and use a vacuum. And they'll suck all that water out of it. Like I said, it's disgusting, but that's my favorite part of cleaning carpets, is after you've sprayed the floor and you're like, oh man, look at that stuff going. That's why they make that tube clear. So you can see the nastiness. See, something somebody threw away, somebody else found beauty in it. Kind of like what God does. People throw us away because, well, you're this, you're that. I don't like you. I don't want you anymore. I don't need you. I've used you. I'm done with you. And God comes into our life. Most of us, some of us didn't have to hit the very bottom to really find out who Jesus was. A lot of us did. We'd been used as a literal doormat for years. We built up hard feelings, resentments, hatred even, towards people of the church. People in general. And God comes in. We receive Jesus. And the reason we feel so good is because at the very beginning, it's that gentle wash. And all of that dirt starts to get broke loose. And it starts getting washed out. And in His righteousness, we realize how dirty we were. But yet we're not there. because we're unique. There's nobody like us. And then he starts working in our lives. Brings in a little more soap. Oh, I gotta turn it on. Ephesians 5:25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. God comes into our life, and with the word, he starts cleaning us up. We get the revelation that maybe I wasn't hot to trot. Maybe I wasn't so holier than thou. And our attitudes start changing. We start realizing that the person that we're despising is who we were. That's why it bothers us. We don't realize that's what we were. That's why it aggravates us. But we've gotten religious in that case. And we start thinking, well, you know, I'm not like that. Why aren't they more like me? Because God's not into clones. I wouldn't want Richard to be me. How much fun is that? It took some time to get to know Richard. But when you get to know Richard, he's a pretty fun guy, especially when he cracks on Phil. But nobody wants to be just like everybody else. You're going to have similarities. You're going to have likes that you have in common. But what fun is it? What fun is it if your children are just like you? It's not fun. I like seeing the individuality in them come out. It's been interesting as the children have grown to see what starts to develop. You know, when you're littler, your mommy and daddy dress you, right? But then when you get big enough to start picking out your own clothes and stuff, and, you know, then, you know, Joshua, he had a particular outfit he wanted to wear. You know, he and Matt were, I think, almost Bobsey twins there for a while, where they're Wranglers with the slits in the boots, and remember those? Still got them. Yeah, I think so does Joshua. Then Jesse came along. Jesse's a little different person. He liked to dress a little more stylish. He's a little bit, but he liked to put on his redneck side too, wear his Wranglers. And then Justin comes along. After a while, he wanted athletic gear. Now, he likes his Dickies. He likes his work boots. He bought a bag of Werther's to carry in his pocket because at school they call him the old man. Yeah, he was handing out Altoids the other day. So, you know, his personality is coming out. And I love it. I love watching they've all changed a little bit and knowing that God's going to keep changing them more and more with each step. But it takes time. It takes the washing of the word. You've got to have the word in you. The word cannot do you any good if you're never reading it. Ladies and gentlemen, we have the opportunity that our ancestors never had. Most of them couldn't read. If you can imagine that. And then Gutenberg created the press, and they started producing Bibles too. And people could take the Bible home. They could take the word home. And if they could read, they could get revelation of who God is. Some people saw God is a God of terror and fear. Other didn't quite come out with that same revelation. There for a while, I had that. I'm like, oh yeah, God, he's gonna put the smack down on you. But as I've gotten to know God more, it's not that God won't. He doesn't want to. He doesn't want, he said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I wanted my children to come meet me on the mountain. And they chose law. They chose legalism. You got to dress just so before you can come into the church. You got to look just the right part. Why? If hell's angels walked through that door right now, would you be comfortable? I would. I used to hang around guys like that when I was a kid. Before my dad got saved when he was in Florida, he hung out with some guys. Don't know if he was trying to do initiation, but they were called the Outlaws. Yeah, they're one percenters. They did something and he said, I'm out of Florida. He left the state. He said, after that, I was done. Thank God, I wouldn't be here. But you see, it took the washing of the word to start getting all that out. It takes the washing of the word to get to hurts. Everybody in here has been hurt. No, I've never been hurt. I'm tough as nails. No, you're not. That's why you're a jerk. I'll be honest. It's why you're putting on a facade. Men don't cry. Hogwash. If men don't cry, why do you give us that emotion? We bottle it up. You got to be strong. There's a time to let it go. I used to hold all my emotions in. And when they went, the villagers paid, filled their village with soot and ashes and lava. Destruction is what followed, and it's not good. So that was one of those things God had to... He had to work on me. That he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Titus 3:4 says, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward men or toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done. You didn't do anything and you can't do anything deserving of God's love, of what Jesus has done. You'll never. So stop thinking that you can do it. Receive his mercy in faith and watch what he will do with your life. But according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's why churches who do not believe about the power of the Holy Spirit are closing. They're failing. People are dead. They're dead inside. Again, the Holy Spirit was not given to make us goofballs. That's just a side that comes out naturally in some people. The Holy Spirit is here as a power source for us. That's why Jesus said, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit shall come upon you. Because most of the time, the things that God's trying to clean out of us are our attitudes, our hurts that we're holding on to, the anger. Sometimes we even make promises. I'll never do that because my parents did that. Bad reason to do it. Maybe they had a good reason. I don't know. I'm not in your parents' shoes. I wasn't there. But they probably made the best decision they could. But we're renewed by the Holy Spirit, regenerating. Your skin is regenerating right now. The old skin cells are breaking away, flaking off. You don't want to think about how really disgusting we are as human beings. We leave hair everywhere, skin cells, spittle. We're being renewed all the time. And that's how our spiritual man needs to be renewed, is by the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you don't have the Word of God in there to see, well, what is the deal? Why did God? Because they rejected him. You need to see how God's faithfulness was with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, with Noah. Afterwards, they said, we want legalism. We want what Egypt had, remember? They kept saying, let us go back to Egypt. Weren't there enough graves? Let us go back. We will serve them. They were happy with what they had. Freedom costs you something. If you want free from things, you've got to let go. You're not going to get delivered from things with legalism. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You can never legislate morality. It doesn't work. We don't want abortion. You're not going to legislate it. It was illegal in this country for years, and yet it was still happening. They tried outlawing drinking. Congress and the Senate, before it happened, they stockpiled. Hundreds of thousands of Americans died because the stuff that they were getting was being poisoned. The truth of the matter is, we should have been teaching reality and truth. The Bible doesn't say you can't drink. It says you shouldn't. You shouldn't get drunk. That's what it says. I'm just telling you. I don't care what you think. I'm telling you what the Word says. I came from a long line of alcoholics, became an alcoholic myself. After swearing, I would never do that. But what I realized, I was drinking to hide hurt. I've had to get the hurt out. It's not been always pleasant. It wasn't pleasant for the people around me. And trust me, I wouldn't have been a pleasant person as a drunk. I was lovable and daring, but that lovable part was the problem. I wasn't a fighter. I'd do stupid stuff that I normally wouldn't do. I ran into a brick wall one night. That hurt. The regeneration of the Holy Spirit's what showed me and revealed. It's taken some time on that. There's other things. God's still washing my rug. My pattern's still showing up. You're still showing up with each and every day that you get in the Word, that you spend time talking to the Lord. I said talking to him. If you want to lay on the floor and you pray, then you pray. You want to go in a closet and you pray. You pray. I pray and meditate in my shop. Because God speaks to me there. That's my place. I know a few other people that it's very similar. Maybe a walk in the woods. I spent lots of time as a teen in the woods praying. So much time. But that's what kept me from killing myself. Second Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Whoops. Come on. The glory to glory is each stage of the wash. From the start of it, you could start seeing the pattern showing up. And they'd wash that off. They'd come back with more soap, more Word, more Holy Spirit. And then they'd scrub. That's my job. If I'm irritating you, You're welcome. It's my job. My job's not to be your friend. My job is to make sure you get there. A pastor's job is to protect his sheep, to take care of his sheep. I don't agree with all these pastors that think, well, Paul told Timothy to do the work of an evangelist. That was Timothy. I'm not Timothy. I'm Art. Nice to meet y'all. My job is to make sure that I'm doing my job. That if you need prayer quickly, I'm there and I can pray. If you need me there, I can be there most times. Not all the time. So that's why I said, I need you to be strong because I can't always be there. That's why some pastors are failing at their job because they have to be there. Oh, I can't do this. Well, I hope after preaching the truth that you can, but if you need help, don't be too proud to call. But then the next glory wave comes along, and then here comes the washing of the word, and it cleans away all of that disgusting filth. All the times that people used us and walked on us is washed away. And more of the glory is starting to show through. I don't think I'll be completely done until that day. But I don't look like I did 30 years ago. Because that was my own righteousness. I'm going to read Psalm 51 for you out of, I'm going to read it from my Bible. It's up there, but there's 12 verses. There's parts in this psalm that I pray. Because there's days I have to repent of attitudes, of things in general, things I've thought. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge for my transgressions. You have to admit what you did. And my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. That you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Here's part of my prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast, right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. David said, don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Because it's the Spirit that regenerates us. It's how we rebuild. It's God's Spirit. You can walk away 1,000 times. And God will take you back 1,000 times. But if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get restoration. I don't know about you, but I need that restoration. When there's days that I tell Angela, I say, it's called going nuclear. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? Just pull the pin and walk away. There's situations I'm like, I'm just done with this. I'm done. And it's always people. Go figure. All of our problems are actually people. It's not your truck, your car, not your house. You can fix them. The house isn't doing anything. The house can't think. People. And then I have to go back and repent. My wife talks me down. And I repent. And I say, okay, Lord, for this I was born. You made me, you equipped me. I can do this. But you see, for us to want to run away is pride. We all still deal with it. You may think you don't, but please don't be deceived. Like I said, I know things because I did them. I recognize things. Pride is one of those things we all have a problem that we have to contend with, to keep it in check, to stay humble. About the time we think we know everything, God will hit us with something. We realize, I don't know jack squat. I'm not as good as I thought I was. Without God's word washing over us. And again, I'm going to reiterate, folks, you got to read it. You don't have to meditate on the whole chapter or whole book. Sometimes for me, it's two or three words that just keep going over and over and over. What started this message was that very part in Psalm 51, wash me and I will be whiter than snow. By the way, the hyssop, in the event you think, well, what's the hyssop? Their hyssop and today's hyssop are not the same things. As I read about it, today's hyssop, what we call hyssop, if you take the oil, it stimulates your central nervous system. Basically gives you epileptic seizures. A child can experience those seizures with two or three drops. So God's not bathing us in something that's going to cause us problems. The hyssop of that time was believed to be something more like a moss, a sponge. Scrub it. That's what we need. We need God's word moving in our lives. But we need to be repenting. We got to be letting go of that garbage so it can go out and it showed up in his righteousness. And we realize how bad it really was for us. But that's not what's being believed in today's world. Just do whatever you want. No, I can't. I can't just do whatever I want. By the way, one of the things I wanted to point out, because God showed that to me, when he washed all that stuff away from us, the things that were making us dirty, they're situations, they're people that are not good for us. And he pushes them away and cleans them. I remember when I was in the Philippines, we got a new platoon sergeant. Honestly, didn't care for him. I had 2% body fat and he had the audacity to call me fat. I'm like, just because I'm not a twig. But nonetheless, he was squared away. He did his job right. But he told me one day, he came to me, he says, you know, Waddell, he says, you're a good Marine. But the people you're hanging out with, they're going to drag you down. Well, you don't tell somebody who's desperate for friends at that point in their life that the people they're hanging out with are their anchors. Not solid, good anchors. They're what holding them back. God promoted me. God moved me, did things. I was still in touch with this particular person who had a bad attitude towards everything. It was always everybody else's fault, never took responsibility. Anybody know anybody like that? Later in life, we would get separated as far as our units. And, you know, we just kind of grew apart.
Haven't heard from him in 20 some years now. 25. I've tried to make contact, but it's not my problem. Because one of the last times he really made contact, he decided to call us when his wife was leaving him, hoping we would put his marriage back together. After 5 or 6 years of being a jerk, she had had enough. And, I mean, a really bad jerk. He broke the car window with his fist. Had some temper issues. But that was somebody God took away from my life. We were good friends. And, you know, God took him out of my life. God's taken a lot of things out of my life that I thought I couldn't live without. The truth of the matter was, I've lived better without that. I get to pray for him now. Because at least back then he knew where to turn when his marriage was going down. And it did. It imploded. So, let God's word wash you. Quit trying to be somebody else. If you're trying to be me, knock it off. You don't have my personality. You don't have my temperament. You haven't paid the price I've paid, and I haven't paid the price you've paid for things. Don't be trying to be your favorite preacher. God wants you to be who you are. Matt, you got 3 brothers, but you're the only Matt. You're the only you. Maverick is a combination of both of you. There'll never be another Maverick. Your sister is not you, Monica. Her life is different. Same thing for the rest of you. You have nobody to live up to except God. Amen. And when you fall short, he's willing to forgive you. You just have to repent. Do you know how easy that is? Some people we want to, I got to flog myself. Like she talked about it this morning, Annette. That used to be a thing, believe it or not. They used to whip themselves as punishment. Like the hell you're going through right then wasn't enough? Repent. Jesus took the beating for you. God is merciful. He's kind. And his mercies are endless. They're renewed every morning. So if you thought you had a really bad day yesterday, just remember tomorrow, it's a new day. Today's a new day. And if he told us to forgive 70 times 7, 490 times a day, boy, I don't know who you're hanging out with. But they're offending you 490 times a day. You really don't need them in your life. But that's the choice you have to make. Ask God who. God will tell you, hey, back off. I'll bring them back around. Because I've had people in my life, and that's exactly what God did. He brought them back around. God sent me to one friend, told me to tell him that his time of running was up, that he needed to knock it off and stop running. He listened. Well, he heard. Let me put it that way. There's a difference between listening and hearing. He heard. And then he ran. He's still running, and I'm still praying. But he knows the truth. And one of these days, just like that dog on a leash, it's going to get to the end of that chain, and feet are going in the air, and kind of where I got to. God just needed me sooner.
you're here, you're hearing the word, and you're letting God's word change you. That's a start. Let's stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how it washes us and breaks away at the things in our lives, Father, that we're holding on to in our every fiber of our being. The hurts, the regrets, the resentments, even hatred, Lord. Father, you know what is in our hearts that needs to go. You know the things around us that need to go. Lord, help us to release those things. And now I'm going to ask everybody in here to repeat this after me. Create in me,
a clean heart
and renew a right spirit,
within me.
Hallelujah. Bless these people today, Father God. Move in their lives miraculously. Father, those standing for physical healing, manifest that now in Jesus' name. Father, those seeking direction, Lord God, you're their compass. Lead them. Open their eyes to follow you, even when they may not know where they're going. In Jesus' name, amen.